Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
And welcome to the Business of the Business podcast. I'm your co-host, JP Jabosh, from the Two Man Power Trip. Of course, joining me is the doctor himself, Mr. Lavi Margolin. Lavi, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good, John. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm ready to talk, maybe to hopefully a guest coming on soon, but I wanted to actually mention something to you that I thought was pretty interesting. What is going on with RAF, Real American Freestyle? Seems like they've been selling a good amount of tickets, unless I'm crazy, but it seems like they have been selling.
Yeah, it's interesting. They've been on my mind, not only given my amateur wrestling credentials, but whenever you listen to, of course, 83 Weeks with Bischoff and Conrad, like, kind of gets you hyped, like there's something going on here. But I think there is something going on here, especially with REF3 and REF4. So as you mentioned to me, John, sometimes exceeding the tickets distributed for some AEW events. So Wintrust Arena, obviously quite a large place there. WrestleTix has it as 9,247 tickets on the map. But the setup was 5,134. Tickets distributed is 4,614. This was, and I think something really smart that they're doing, and we've talked about this already, but using basically MMA or UFC pedigreed fighters who have a wrestling background, or at least are willing to try wrestling, most have a wrestling background, to sort of promote things, which I love because it's pretty safe, folks, freestyle wrestling certainly as compared to anything you're striking. No submissions even. So really a very low chance of breaking a bone or anything like that. So this was Michael Chandler against Chad Mendes. And December 20th, this one's hitting quick. Not too many tickets distributed for this one yet. 739 tickets, 2208 in the Fisher Event Center in Fisher, Indiana. So curious about that one. This one has more of a, Hendrickson is known, but Paris was the Olympian who got a lot of attention in college as well. So an interesting matchup. Kash Patel, the FBI director who's been utilizing the jet all over the place, ended up there. Well, his girlfriend, Alexis Wilkins, I think, was singing. I'm not sure if it was the national. I assume it was the national anthem. I don't know if there was another musical performance. But I was actually writing about this for my book because I didn't know. So as the FBI director, you are required to fly in the FBI jet. So he's not just like, I'm just going to take the jet because I'm lazy, like, you know, for safety reasons. But you are supposed to reimburse the cost of a commercial ticket. So let's say he's going from D.C. to Chicago, whatever a typical commercial airline flight ticket is, that's what he should be reimbursing. But getting some controversy there in the Daily Beast and other coverage, accused of using $60 million to jet for date night. So maybe RAF can get some mileage out of that. I think Bischoff loves cultivating some relationships with the administration, and why not? Our friend, the mysterious Blake Axe Avignon had a basically a deep dive into REF. I would say it's worthwhile to go and seek that out on his platforms, but basically sort of looking at the potential. The challenges is that you can have the names, but people are used to striking. But I think that, you know, and as he mentioned, if they could carve out their own thing, that would be something. I think for just three events in with a fourth one planned, that they're getting a fair amount of buzz, certainly more than American professional, quote unquote, wrestling of this style has gotten before in the past. How much is it on your radar now, John?
I always pay attention to it because obviously I follow Bischoff and stuff, and I'm obviously very into Hogan. So I was kind of keeping up and seeing how his legacy is kind of protected and brought up, which it always is on those shows, which is great. Kind of paying it forward. They actually use his social media still to promote a lot of Real American Freestyle, and obviously Real American Beer, et cetera, et cetera. So obviously they're still tying him in and still making him a part of the show, if you will. I thought it was interesting with Real American Freestyle how they have outsold a lot of AEW shows. And if you count the last one at Wintrust, pretty much every show that they had that wasn't a pay-per-view for months, going back many, many months. So I feel like it's not being brought up or not being discussed. But when it was first being discussed, everybody was kind of ripping Bischoff, saying, oh, AEW is going to outsell you tickets. Ever since that, they kind of haven't been, and Real American Freestyles have been outselling AEW. I haven't heard a peep from anybody. Kind of interesting how that works.
Yeah, I'm kind of guilty of this as well. Of course, before the passing of the great, the legendary Hulk Hogan, and there was the first, I think it was in Cleveland, right? The first count of WrestleTakes, and I had tweeted out, like, when it comes crashing down and hurts inside. But anything that's, you know, new, of course, when you're running a major arena or semi-major arena, mid-size, even if it's 10,000 seats, you know, you're going to have challenges filling that. It's hard to apply to know, you know, what success or not, because we don't know how many tickets are being distributed. I'd imagine given the boosters at Penn State and one of their alumni, from what I'm gathering, is one of their big funders and an older gentleman, you know, that they have those connections to like distribute free tickets or discounted tickets. So it's hard to say like, oh, okay, we're looking at it with that sort of eye for REF, but for you know, AEW, we won't try and figure out how many tickets are distributed. But if you can fill it up and get it to look good on Fox Nation and, you know, build some momentum there, I think it's an interesting way to go. I'm curious. I haven't been so inspired as to download the Fox Nation app, but should they upload a full show or something like that, I'd definitely be curious to check it out. I watched a little bit of the clips or maybe even one full match, and I just like the vibe of it. It does look very professional and, you know, cutting edge and so on, and they're adding some excitement to it.
Right now we're bringing in our favorite guest, Lobby, despite what you said about Kevin Kleinrock. This is our favorite guest, bringing in the man behind Game Changer. And we're getting an ovation. Brett Lauderdale, we're getting an ovation behind him as well.
It is. It's the kids. They're...
Hey, Brett, thanks for joining us. And any member of the family is always welcome. I knew John was going to put me on the spot with this sort of thing, so I just want to prove your importance with quantitative data. This is your 10th appearance, so thank you for your time with that.
And wow.
That's ahead of our friends, Brandon Thurston at 6, Kevin Kleinrock at 5, Matt Ryan at 4, and we've had multiple guests at 2. So this is just goes to show, as they would say in WWF, this is the 10th anniversary, but not really. That's usually the 11th appearance. So we look forward to you returning soon.
Well, I look forward to being here. And, you know, as you told me, speaking of numbers, you told me the ratings are always good when I'm on. So I'm happy to contribute to you know, the fourth quarter numbers for you guys, and yeah, thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure, and you put us deep into the news with a Z aggregation site, so we love to get attention to.
Yes.
So, Brett, what did you think about the first, I guess, official fan slam that was a part of GCW's show over at the American Dream Mall? And what did you think about the show in general at the American Dream Mall?
Well, in regards to the fan slam, well, the fan slam was the convention, so I'm assuming that's what you're what you meant.
Yep.
I'm admittedly not really a convention guy. Meaning, not that I don't like them. I just don't know much about them. I've never run a convention of my own, so it was cool this time getting to team up with Tommy Fierro, who any Northeast indie wrestling fans will know has history dating back long before me, long before GCW. He's been running conventions in New Jersey since the late 90s. So it was cool to kind of hand over the reins to him and, you know, just on just kind of to steer us in the right direction and get it started. And I love the way it, you know, it turned out, and last year's as well, but it was nice not having to worry about any of it myself this year. But it, you know, it's cool just, you know, seeing all the wrestlers out there doing the thing, doing their thing, and fans, you know, making their way from one table to the next. And it's just a cool wrestling traffic and wrestling ecosystem type stuff. And that's the stuff we need.
What did you think about Dream On and the attendance? It looked, man, it just looks awesome. I know it was in a little bit of a different part of the mall, right? This time around.
Yeah, we were close to where we were last year. We were in the court next to the court we were in last year. It was called Merlin Court, actually, but you could see we were right next door to where we were last year, but we got bumped this year by Ultraman, who apparently is a big deal in the anime world, so he bumped us over to the next space over. But I very much enjoyed the show. The turnout was strong. Yes, it's cool for all the reasons why a show in the largest retail and entertainment complex in the Northeast would be cool. So yeah, good turnout, good show, good buzz. I'm happy.
I can't help but call it the American Dream Mall, even though it's not a mall.
I know a lot of people call it a mall. It is not a mall.
And of course, you got so much stuff going on over there. It's just like, it's just a cool aesthetic, just because the venue is such a cool and unique, different venue.
Absolutely, there's a lot going on. You can do almost anything. You can get lost. You can spend a day there and still not do everything if you really want to get into it. But yeah, it's a cool place.
What are your thoughts on Effie? Obviously, Effie losing the brand new or losing the title to the brand new champion Atticus. So, what's your thoughts on Effie? Just the title run in general, and him losing here at this big show.
Well, Effie had a good run. He had a historic run. I was happy to see him as champion. He absolutely earned it and deserved it. He had a good run, but all good things come to an end. And that's what happened at the American Dream. Now it is a new era of GCW. It is the Atticus Kogar Vandal 48 era. And it feels like it's weird because he only came back to GCW a year ago, but it feels like it's been a long time coming. So it's put up or shut up time. It is now, as they say, you know, I think I actually put up a tweet about this. It's hard enough to get to the top, but it's even harder to stay there. And now the real work will begin for Atticus Kogar. So now we're going to see how good he really is. So I'm here for it. I'm fair is fair and square, and he won the GCW title. So I'm anxious to see, you know, what he has in store as champion and where it takes GCW.
So he's got a rematch, meaning Effie's got a rematch coming up, right?
He does. This coming Saturday in Los Angeles. Effie will get an opportunity to take it back. So maybe we shouldn't start looking too far into the future or into the new era just yet. We should get through Saturday at least first, God willing, for Atticus. But one thing I've learned, not just in wrestling and in GCW and life, is to never count Effie out.
Looking at that, as a booker, promoter, do you get nervous quote unquote, like switching the title or change the title to the new guy, because Effie is the name brand, if you will. Everyone's very familiar with him. He drew very well for you guys. Does that ever make you nervous? Like when you're obviously going with somewhat of a unknown entity in Atticus?
Sure. I mean, everything makes me nervous in some ways, you know, anytime you make a dramatic change. But I do feel like now is the time for GCW. We've seen, you know, the core roster has been in place for so many years, and they've done such an amazing job, you know, really growing this brand and representing it. You know, people, you know, such as Effie right at the front. And, you know, I'm proud of Effie and everything he accomplished, and everybody of Effie's GCW generation, so to speak. But, you know, you have to evolve. And I do think it's time for, you know, if GCW will continue to grow and, you know, continue moving forward, it's going to have to be some new faces that lead the way. And that doesn't mean people like Effie go away. It just means, you know, we have some shift in roles, and, you know, it's time for other people to get opportunities and other people to step up. So I'm actually very excited about that. I think that we have a lot of young and hungry, very hungry and passionate wrestlers on our roster that really are ready, and they want it, and it is their turn to lead the way.
I got to mention, because she was a part of, obviously, Dream On. She's on the commentary team. She's part of Fan Slam, too. What's going on with Gail Kim at GCW? She was very outspoken, but now she kind of gets brought into the fold. Take me behind the scenes a little bit with Gail Kim.
Yeah, well, Gail is Gail is such a interesting case, especially right now, because in some circles she's just so respected and revered, and you know, she's women's wrestling royalty in a lot of people's eyes. And also at the same time, there's this, you know, group of people who, you know, just do not like her at all. And, you know, part of that is, you know, her recent Twitter, adventures. So, you know, she's a lot like, you know, she's a lot like GCW in some ways, where, you know, you either hate her or you love her. So I think in that respect, she has a lot in common with GCW. You know, I think in terms of, you know, her role and whatnot, I think it's just one of those things where, you know, sometimes the planets align, even if it's by accident. And, you know, you end up with a situation where, you know, it's a what if, and sometimes it's almost too convenient not to see what would happen. And I think that's what happened here with Gail Kim. And I thought that her interaction with Joey was fun and kind of, you know, unpredictable. And I mean, honestly, truly unpredictable. I had no idea what was going to happen when those two got in there. And I thought it was fun. And I give Gail credit. She's a good sport, and she was very easy to work with. And, you know, whatever, we're all entitled to our own opinions. And, you know, I don't care whether Gail likes GCW or not, but I think at the end of the day, she does respect us. She respects me. She respects Joey. She respects our fans. And the feeling is mutual, you know, no matter what we say in a tweet, you know, on any given afternoon, you know, we might say, oh, well, she sucks, but, you know, you can't disregard, you know, the type of career she had, just like, you know, she can't disregard the type of, you know, history GCW has had. So I think at the end of the day, we do have a mutual respect.
Yeah, he said new CTE-induced comments from Gail Kim have dropped. She said, I got my brain scans checked 2 weeks ago. My brain health is impeccable. What about you, Mr. Deathmatch? What's your excuse? So
yeah,
going back and forth there on the interwebs.
They do say that supposedly you can't tell until you're dead, right?
Yeah, that's what they say, yeah.
So maybe that's Gail's CTE acting up. it's suggesting that she knows already.
Yeah, interesting.
But Joey, on the other hand, will not dispute at all. He will tell you that he's shot. So,
but I like that when anybody says something negative, let's meet it head on and let's put them together. You know what I mean? Like let's not talk it out, but let's see what will happen when you put them together.
You know, my number one wish, or you know, genie in a bottle type thing. If you could have one person show up in GCW, you know who it is?
John Zandig.
No, John Zandig's already been here a million times. Who is it? Who that has never been to GCW?
No, it's never been.
Yes.
Vince Russo.
Oh, no.
Russo. Oh,
good guess, but no.
Almost?
No, great guess, but no. The answer is Jim Cornette. He's the one guy.
Perfect. Yes.
That I wish we could get in our doors one time. He'll never do it, but he's the genie in a bottle. If you could get three wishes or one wish, Jim Cornette would be one of them.
You know, Brian Lapps is a New Jersey guy. He's from
really,
but he's been living out there with his family for many years.
Wait, where is it? Where is he?
He's in New Jersey.
Where?
I'm not sure exactly, but he comes from Long Beach, New York. But I think he's been.
Imagine he's my neighbor, and I don't even know it.
Or my neighbor too. Hell, I'm Jersey. It could be.
Where are you?
Right next to Asbury Park.
Oh wow. Okay. I'm in Burlington County.
Oh okay, it's not too far. Not bad.
Yeah, maybe an hour.
Yeah, it's not terrible. Interesting. I wonder where the hell Brian Last is.
Well, somebody find out for me.
Yeah, Lavi, that's you. That's your boy.
I'll have to look up his P.O. box. I'll let you
know. I think the honest truth, you know, I used to, when we first started, I used to get pissed when Jim Cornette would talk shit about us. I'd be like, oh, fuck him. But now in hindsight, I mean, first of all, now when he does it, I love it. But now in hindsight, I think Jim Cornette probably did as much to help GCW as anybody who was, you know, pro GCW over the years. You know, he talked about us so many times, brought so much attention to us and made us look cool. I think, you know, I mean, his dedicated fan base, you know, is probably never going to watch us, but to all the people that see the headlines of him talking shit, you know, I think that probably brought so many new eyes to us and attention to us that, you know, I sometimes when I'm get bored, I try to think, you know, what can we do to get Jim Cornette's attention this week? You know,
that's true though, because if you're speaking about it, whether it's negatively or positively, it's getting out there, it's getting on the headlines. So you are getting press, free press.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Jim Cornette can't hurt our business. So shit on us all you want. Go for it. Just keep talking about us. But I actually have something in store for Jim Cornette coming up in March. It hasn't been revealed yet, but I'm going to take my swing for the fences when it comes to Jim Cornette in March. I have a feeling we're going to get his attention.
Wow. Oh, my God. I actually had the privilege of booking him a few times. This is obviously many years ago because he doesn't really leave the house anymore. But I did a Midnight Express reunion. It was awesome. He was awesome. And he did a one-man show after. He is the best. But, hey, I know a lot of GCW fans probably aren't Cornette fans, though.
I would roll out the red carpet for him. But I have heard that he doesn't leave the house. So
yeah.
I think those days are behind us.
But you probably remember when he showed up. I mean, this is years ago, but Ring of Honor, him and Zandig had that face-to-face.
I was there.
Oh, you were. So was I. So yeah. Obviously he does have, you know, issues with the deathmatch style. But he did confront it then. Obviously now it's a completely different ball of wax.
Yeah. Yeah. That was before he burned every last bridge.
Yeah.
But he had a good run.
Now, speaking of Cornette, I know Lavi wanted to ask you about Vince Russo, of all people.
Yeah.
Yes. Brett, you know, I'm like, should I or shouldn't I? And I don't mean Vince Russo, but I know that you've never shied away from anything. So Masha Slamovich, in terms of a performer, she's you know, really my favorite, a standout. Obviously, there's been, and she addressed it, you know, in social media, domestic violence issues, and she stepped away from the business. And I know there was some, negativity towards GCW as it wasn't addressed. Understandably, it was addressed by TNA because she was under contract and she was.
Was it addressed by TNA?
Yeah, I think they put out, John, was it a press release or they just...
I don't think they did.
It was almost like a tweet that she wasn't going to be around. They didn't really talk about the issue, though.
Are you sure?
I could have sworn they put out a tweet that says she won't be a part of the upcoming show or something.
She was already not scheduled to be, and I think other people put it up and said Masha was actually never scheduled for this event. But as far as I know, and I stand to be corrected if I'm wrong, but my belief is that they never made any statement of any kind.
I'm sorry.
I was watching for one and I never saw it.
I'm trying to get it quickly from Grok. But all that is to say either directly or sort of in terms of these issues, like, that report comes out, how do you handle it? Obviously, you've had a great working relationship for many years. Who reaches out to who and, like, what decisions are made? What are you, like, comfortable sharing?
I'm sorry. I think I missed the first part of the question. Can you ask it again?
Oh, sure. When the issues come out, obviously, she had been booked on upcoming shows with you. She was the Jersey champion as well, like... Do you reach out to her first? Does she reach out to you to say, I'm going to take a step away? Like, where do things stand? Like, how did that unfold in terms of what you're comfortable sharing?
Well, all of these situations are, they're all different. They're all unique to, each individual situation. But, in this instance, she is somebody who, we've known for so long and we've worked with. I mean, I knew her really before Masha was a thing. I knew her when she was still Anne to everybody. So, I spoke to her directly and, I spoke to the people that are close to her and the people around her. And, it's just a really tough situation because, these are delicate situations because people's real life and personal relationships, we can all watch from afar, but we don't know what really goes on behind closed doors. And, of course, domestic violence of any kind is not, is not acceptable. It's not, it's not okay. But, we're so used to, everything just kind of gets put in. We don't know context and anything. We don't know history. We just see that the headline, so it's like, it's hard to get a real read on some of these situations, but I don't know what happened, it was clear that, there was enough, it was clear that there was, enough stuff that wasn't okay that, warranted her taking a break and, getting her stuff together. And that's what she told us that she was going to do. And my understanding is, she has done that, she is, I don't know, she's making changes in her life. I try not to, when somebody takes a step away like this, it's a weird situation because, she doesn't work for me in real life. So it's like, in some instances it's none of my business, So, it is my understanding, that she's doing the things that she needs, that she thinks she needs to do anyways to, get a hold of things and put herself in the right direction. So of course I'm supportive of that part of it. And, I don't know what the future is going to bring. I wish the best for her, whether it's in wrestling or out of wrestling. And I also, I wish the best for her former partner. I wish the best for all of these people, and it's an unfortunate situation and it sucks, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Thank you. And just to close the loop in terms of a TNA statement. So they had put out to John Alba at SI at the time, just, we take any allegations like this very seriously and have begun an internal investigation. So that was the long and the short of it. But just to understand, you know,
what was the result of their investigation?
It has not been revealed. I guess first will come the TV deal. And then, not that it's a laughing matter, but and then we'll find out the results of their investigation, I guess.
Yeah.
In terms of
Carlos. No, I think, you know, it's a tough situation for them too, because, you know, they have, it's just so, it's so tough. It's tough for them, tough for us, because, you know, we love this person, you know, that we know and that we've gotten to know, but, you know, there's certain lines you just have to draw. And, you know, it doesn't mean that they have to be permanent, but, you know, in this moment, you know, you have to err on the side of caution. So it is what it is.
Yeah. And John and I talk about this all the time, sort of like in terms of like canceled wrestlers and like, how do you know? And not necessarily that you have a rubric in your mind, but for example, a number of years ago, Stone Cold Steve Austin was accused himself of domestic violence. His former partner even wrote a book that, you know, was a significant part of it. And, you know, whenever he's welcome back to WWE, he's beloved. Nobody ever talks about it or anything like that. So, you know, somebody like that isn't permanently canceled. Whereas somebody that might have acted inappropriately sexually may be canceled forever. So, like, I think especially in independent wrestling, sometimes there's, you know, a reason why somebody isn't, you know, somewhere else. They may not yet be ready athletically. They might be, this might be the perfect fit for them, balanced with other careers or whatever it might be. But I think a fair amount of people you have to give a shot to or not hold everything against them. So like when you're looking to book talent and someone reaches out to you and you're familiar with their background, that it's not always 100%, you know, on the up and up, like, how do you figure out, like, is this,
well, be the rules make no sense. The rules don't make, we're playing by unwritten rules and they make no sense. There's double standards across the board. There's hypocrisy across the board. I mean, yeah, you know, and of course I wasn't there for Stone Cold Steve Austin, but whatever happened with him and his wife, but it sounds like whatever happened there was pretty nasty. And, you know, what makes him different than anybody else? You know, I mean, I know, but, you know, in real life, what makes him any different? Why is he more deserving of a second chance? Why is he more deserving of a third chance? You know, you know, of course, I try to, you know, anything that happened, you know, years and years ago, you know, you just, I mean, we can't litigate the past forever, you know, the thing that would be great would be if there was some sort of established path where people could, you know, really work their way back and prove, you know, look, you know, these are the things I've done and I want another chance at this, you know, like when did we all become so against second chances, you know, and against the idea that people can improve and better themselves. And, you know, it seems like, I don't know where this cycle is and, you know, the idea of, you know, redemption and, you know, it's, you know, it used to be that, you know, everybody got a second chance, and now it's just everybody's, you know, you make one mistake and it's over. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, people come to me, you know, I've had it happen to, you know, many of my friends who have made mistakes over the years. And, you know, people say, you know, how are you going to stop booking this person? You know, you've known them forever. They're your friend. And I always have to tell people, you know, here's the thing is no one person is bigger than GCW. You know, GCW has to go on. You know, there's no one person that, you know, is worth, you know, hurting GCW and bringing GCW down. And that's, you know, one of these circumstances, you know, one of these things we just always have to consider, you know. At the end of the day, you know, whether it's fair or not, whether it makes sense or not, you know, GCW has to be the most important, and we have to put GCW first, because, you know, if GCW goes down, then, you know, it's not going to be there for anybody and we're all going to go away. So it's just, you know, it's just one of those uncomfortable situations.
Yeah, thank you. And hard to transition from that, of course. But in reflecting back, as it's, of course, almost a year, and I was grateful to be there, that, you know, Effie won the belt in the Hammerstein. Of course, very unfortunate situation with Allie Catch getting injured. But thankfully, she returned to the independent scene this month. And according to Cage Match, at least, she's wrestled nine matches, I guess, in November now that we're in December. I know that she is booked for Orange Crush, but I was a little bit surprised not to see her yet in GCW. And myself, and not being intimately familiar with all the stories and machinations, that a little bit of a lost opportunity by Effie no longer being the champion, right? She could come back and continue that revenge, or maybe be friends and then turn on each other again, all of that. But all that's to say, like, is Allie Catch going to be a regular in GCW again?
You know, in this very moment, I can't tell you if, you know, is she ever going to be a regular again? I don't know what makes somebody a regular. But, you know, I can tell you with pretty reasonable degree of certainty and confidence, you know, that she will be back. I think it's just a matter of timing and figuring out what the right entry point is. And, you know, you know, it's a, you know, it's not always as simple as, you know, like, oh, she's back, so she's got to be back at GCW. You know, sometimes timing is everything. And sometimes, you know, one side wants to try this and the other side wants to try something else. And you just agree to, well, let's hold off right now and let's revisit this, you know, in 2 weeks, or revisit this in a month or 2 months. And, you know, eventually you're going to figure it out, or that right opportunity will come around, or, you know, you'll have this one situation pop up where it's like, wait a minute, now is the moment. And that's what's going to happen here. She's been around. She's actually been at a few GCW shows in the last couple months, just not on the show. But she's been there. She's still, of course, very close with many people in the locker room, including myself. She's one of those people that, you know, really helped put GCW on the map, and, you know, in our boom period, so to speak. So, you know, she'll always, you know, be, you know, looked at fondly in GCW history. And, you know, whether she's on every show or she's on one show a month or once every couple months, you know, I anticipate that she'll always be around for as long as she's a wrestler.
So talking about the Hammerstein, obviously the second appearance there seemed like a big success as well. Even John and I, especially me, was, you know, very much, okay, what was it the first time? What was it the second? And judging what's a success or not. But this year, to kick off the year, it's a different take and something that was obviously very successful right off the bat. This one night only at the Berwyn Eagles Club debut show, and a deathmatch event, from what I understand. So, like, what was the thought process behind that, and how happy were you with the sellout?
Well, I wasn't, I was disappointed in the sellout. Just kidding. Of course I was happy about the sellout.
Well, you know, WWE says if it sells out the first day, then you could have priced it for more.
Oh, yeah. So maybe I am a little upset. Yeah. No, I mean, of course I'm thrilled, with the turn, with, you know, with the response, and I'm very excited to go there. It'll literally be my first time stepping foot in the Berwyn Eagles, which, you know, for somebody like myself who's been around almost 20 years, it's almost impossible that I've never stepped foot in there. So I'm excited to go there. I'm excited to bring GCW there. And, you know, I love Chicago. Just Chicago is one of the, you know, it's one of the, you know, original, you know, road markets for GCW. So anytime we get to go back there, it's great. And yeah, I'm excited and looking forward to it, and excited to make our history for one night only.
So as John mentioned earlier, Vince Russo, the Juggalo. So just kind of like looking back before we look ahead, like, you know, there was this long feud and interaction. We were happy to be a part of that at some point on the podcast with the Juggalos. I kind of thought it would break out even a little bit more to be more viral, but that's something that you can't always predict. So, like, how did you feel that whole feud and interaction went? And what were your thoughts when you heard Vince Russo was coming in?
Well, I thought that the GCW-JCW thing went well, to be honest. You know, it is wrestling is just in a really weird period right now. So it's hard for me anyways to really fully register people's, you know, excitement or interest level or engagement right now, because, you know, just the way people engage seems to be changing right now. So I thought overall, though, the response was good in person. People liked it, you know, at the JCW events especially, which I think is part of the reason why it's hard to get a really good gauge on this GCW-JCW thing, is because I think there's a lot of people that, you know, probably still haven't started, had not started watching JCW yet, or didn't know how to follow it closely. So, you know, but I thought it was successful. Absolutely. It brought GCW to an entire new fan base for sure. And vice versa. It brought Juggalo wrestling, you know, exposure to our universe. And I think ultimately that was the goal. You know, it doesn't have to go, super viral to be successful. The business we did was good. We loved being a part of the gathering. It was such a cool and fun event. And yeah, it's just like we're at this stage of the game for GCW where, you know, the way we grow now is just to be in front of new audiences, and sometimes you have to go outside the bubble to get those new audiences, and that's what we did here. So I know that you know, Violent J in particular was thrilled with it. You know, I think it really showed people. I think a lot of people had one, you know, idea of what it must be, and the people that actually tuned in and watched, you know, their YouTube show, you know, got to see something that was, oh wow, this is actually a quality, polished product and entertaining and different. And, you know, I'm sure that it helped with their viewership numbers.
Yeah. So have you had a chance to check out Vince Russo on Thanksgiving, and maybe they can get established a little bit and you could come back to things? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, I've had a chance to check out a little bit of it. You know, I mean, Vince Russo's, you know, place and his legacy is so unique. You know, he's another person who you either love him or hate him, but, you know, in a lot of ways you have to respect him at least. And I do have respect for Vince Russo. You know, I am not sure what he has to offer to wrestling in the year 2025 or 2026. But I do think if there's anywhere where he can contribute and make a difference, I actually do think it would be at Juggalo Wrestling. I think he's actually a good fit there. You know, again, they're so different and so wacky that, you know, he almost fits in where, you know, the more Vince Russo it gets, you know, I think it may, you know, the better the fit may be. And the one thing is, you know, with everything that Violent J does with Juggalo Wrestling, you know, none of these things are forever, you know? So, you know, if it doesn't work out, you know, it'll come to an end and they'll move on. But if it does work out, you know, he's going to leave, you know, with hopefully growing their fan base and being better for it. So, you know, I don't know, as far as us coming into play again, who knows? Crazier things have happened. I wonder what Vince Russo thinks of GCW. Has anybody ever asked him?
No, I know he's a friend of John's who's regularly on his podcast. I've been working on getting him on the business of the business, so we have to all triangulate and get the answer.
You never had him?
We're working on it. It's in motion, but he's on John's like every 2 weeks now. What's the pacing?
Usually once a month I have him on.
Okay.
I was going to say, it seems like he makes the rounds. Well, maybe I don't pay that close attention.
So speaking of like new audiences, I'd love to hear about the collective coming back to Vegas. But before that, I'm looking a year ahead, of course, to Saudi Arabia. I know there was a little bit of chatter. Like, is there something serious to this? Have there been promoters in the region that have reach out to you? Might this happen?
There's absolutely been people that have reached out to us. You know, we haven't, you know, I've exchanged pleasantries, but, you know, I'm just not sure how realistic it is. And, you know, I just, it's such a wild card, you know, like, let's say we did do something in Saudi Arabia. Who would even go? Are there people there that know what GCW is? You know, you know, again, I say this, you know, like, you know, if some oil, if some sheik, oil person came in and said, I'll give you $50 million to bring your indie show here. You know, I'll just tell you right now, straight up, I will say yes to that. I will say yes. if one of those guys offers me $50 million, I will absolutely be there. If some guy says, oh, I can help put you in touch with the venue and, you know, it'll cost you this much or whatever. I mean, that's something that's not even going to move the needle because, you know, again, you know, it's just, it's not even a matter of, oh, it'll cost so much to do it. It's just, first of all, can you even do it? Is it even legal? Can I even go over there and run an event? I mean, this seems like there's so many variables where it's like, I don't think, you know, I'm not even sure that, you know, I don't even know if this is, if it's, what is there even to talk about, you know? Like, is this even realistic or worth our time? So if somebody wants to offer me $50 million, I will take your private jet to Riyadh and we can discuss it. But, you know, I'm really not sure how much is realistic beyond that.
That's fair enough. And I appreciate the candor. Some people are just like try and stand on high ground, but they're always willing to make a trade-off.
And I would like to have high ground, but for $50 million, I'll get on my sled and I'll go to the lower ground. And, you know, if I can change my family's, you know, life for generations to come. And, you know, I'll tell you right now, if somebody gives me $50 million, I'd be happy to make a sizable donation to Effie to stay home. And I'll be happy to pay off all of Effie's friends with millions of dollars. So, I don't see it happening, but listen, if it happens, let's go. Let's redistribute some Saudi wealth.
So in terms of what's in front of us, of course, the return to Vegas, which we touched upon last time, was a bit of a surprise. And now you're working with WrestleCon and you're in a new venue. I was trying to figure out like the size of the theater because all different information is coming up. Is this hotel space like 1200 seats?
It varies. It can vary. This room that we're going to be in, it's the event center. It's where they do the World Series of Poker every year. So, you know, if you want to, try to get some pictures, you know, by searching, you know, the World Series of Poker or whatever, you know, you can kind of get an idea, a better idea of the space. But no, I think we'll be able to, and I'm planning to go there probably in the next week or two to actually put a floor plan together. But I've actually done a walkthrough there before, so I know I have a pretty good idea of what we're working with. And yeah, I think the real number is somewhere between probably 1,500 and 2,000 seats, you know, give or take. You know, it's four walls, you know, so we have a lot of flexibility to make it whatever we want to, you know. I'm sure we could put more literal people in there as well if we wanted to. And I think we could bring bleachers in, you know, there's tons of room for standing room. So, you know, I don't think capacity is going to be a problem for any of the events.
Cool. So, Triller. So, I follow them on LinkedIn and I see that, you know, the executives are kind of getting out there in terms of different conferences and sharing their success. And there's another division that did a deal with like rugby and so on. But as we've talked about, sort of the Triller Plus side kind of stands on its own, despite all the chaos maybe around it. And those are, you know, my words, just looking at it publicly. But how has the relationship been since we last talked? Are you happy? Are there any challenges that you've noticed?
Well, my relationship remains strong. You know, as strong as it could be anyways. You know, I try to keep my ear to the streets and ask the right questions when I get a chance. And you know, I think My understanding is that things are moving in the right direction, and you know, it seems like they're opening up some new revenue streams, you know, which were just recently brought to my attention for the first time. It seems like, you know, there are the people that I speak with pretty good confidence that for right now things are okay. So, you know, does that apply to everybody? I don't know, but from what I can tell, you know, and just, you know, judging by straight up evidence, you know, the bills continue to be paid, it seems like, and the, you know, the service continues to work pretty much flawlessly. So, you know, we're good today. I don't, you know, again, I'm not in the boardroom. I'm not on their company calls. You know, I just, you know, have my people I talk to, and but, you know, I feel, you know, based on what I can gather, it feels like they're making at least some progress, and, you know, they're planning, you know, they've never stopped, you know, doing their day-to-day tasks. You know, they, as you said, oh, it looks like they're bringing in rugby, and they're always doing something. So, I don't think that they would do that if they had any intentions of not continuing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that definitely does. And I think, you know, with the news with Triller, maybe that it's become such a staple for some promotions and a way of fans accessing independent wrestling that when it seems unstable, people are concerned. And maybe that plays into some of the general concern of the independent wrestling scene. You know, a couple promotions that were, you know, buzzworthy have sort of taken a hiatus or gone off the board recently. So being clearly the industry leader in independent wrestling, what is your thoughts on the state of independent wrestling today?
Yeah, we're in a down cycle. There's no doubt about it. You know, these things, it's, you know, wrestling reality is always, you know, it's always behind. What am I trying to say here? You know, sometimes you can see these things coming, but it takes a little while for them to actually hit, you know? And I think now, you know, whether it's the economy or, you know, there's so many factors that go into it. The economy is obviously a big thing. People only have so much disposable income. You know, they have to choose where, you know, their money goes every week, every month. I think people are obviously, you know, have less of that to go around right now, but absolutely, just, you know, things change in wrestling and in this industry every day. And I think just, you know, there's so much wrestling right now, and, you know, it's tough for people to stand out. And there's, you know, for many years, we've had a lot of high profile indies that were running high profile events, spending a lot of money, you know, making big investments into their product. And a lot of them are doing this, you know, on a show to show basis, you know, where, you know, one show, you know, you have one show go wrong, you know, it can, you know, put a real dent in things. But then you start, you know, you piece in one, two, three, four shows that don't do what they're supposed to do. And you can have, you know, an otherwise strong company lose their footing. And I think it's just so hard right now for people to stand out in independent wrestling, whether it's, you know, whether it's maybe there's a lack of drawing power out there. Maybe people are watching more TV wrestling and less indie wrestling. Maybe they don't have the time or money to spend on following indie wrestling right now. It's just so hard to pin down any one factor, but we're definitely in a down cycle, and these things happen. It's not the first time I've seen it. You know, and this is the times where, you know, we all kind of have to, you know, it's not easy for anybody, whether not the promoters, not the wrestlers. We all just kind of have to, you know, really bear down, and you know, we have a storm we have to weather here. We're going to have to get creative in how we make money, spend money, save money, generate revenue. And we're definitely, yeah, I mean, it's impossible to not acknowledge it right now. You know, you're talking about companies that were at the forefront, you know, leading the way. So for them to bow out, It just goes to show you, and especially given, you know, wrestling is like, for a lot of people, wrestling is not, for a lot of people, wrestling is not a business. It's a passion, you know, it's a hobby, it's a passion, it's a love. So for people to, you know, for times to be so tough that, you know, they're not only are they shutting down their business, but they're walking away from, you know, their passion. It just goes to show you how tough things, you know, really are right now. And, we're going to have to weather this storm. And, you know, this is how wrestling's always been. You know, there's cycles, you know, and there's cycles of fandom where, you know, you know, how long does the hardcore fan last before they lose interest? And you have to make new fans. So we all need to make new fans right now. That's how, you know, we're going to churn through this and weather the storm and get back to the other side.
Thanks, Brett. Let me turn over to John.
Fill us in on everything GCW coming up and where everybody can find and see GCW coming up.
Well, and what's today? Monday? In 4 days, we'll be in Seattle for our return to Seattle. Then on Saturday, we will be back to Los Angeles, which is the GCW home away from home, where, yes, as you mentioned, Effie will get his rematch with Atticus Kogar for the GCW world title. The week after that, we head to Orlando for the Nick Gage Invitational, NGI 10, believe it or not, weirdly, crazy, wow. Amazingly enough. And then we will head home. We'll end the year back in New Jersey at the Mecca for New Year's Eve. And then we'll go to Berwyn January 3rd, and then we'll get back out there to Dallas, Wichita, and we'll just keep knocking off more states and just keep it moving. Philly, New York, where else? Phoenix. We're just going to keep going. All that's coming up.
And where could everybody find you and GCW on your socials?
Well, go to Twitter or whatever it is. X is at GCW Wrestling _. Instagram is Game Changer Wrestling. Those are the two primary locations. That's where all the updates come from. So those are good starting points. And, of course, I don't know if it's still going on, by the way, but if you've been thinking about subscribing to Triller TV Plus, where you can watch every GCW show live and have access to our entire catalog. There's a Black Friday sale where I believe yearly renewals are half price. Can anybody confirm that?
Oh, I'm not
okay,
sure.
I'll confirm it. I will confirm it. I'm not sure if it's still going on, but I think it is until maybe midnight tonight. I don't know. But I know that Black Friday, Triller TV Plus, half price renewals or new customers, new customer or existing customer. If you renew for another year, it is half price. So you can get GCW for a year for like, I don't know, $5 a month, $4 a month, which is crazy.
Well, can't beat that. Jeez. Great deal there. For
it is. I mean, seriously. And not only GCW, it's not just GCW. There's all the wrestling that's on Triller TV Plus, all the other sports, boxing, MMA, all that stuff. It's really still an insane deal. So even if you don't like GCW, go check it out. It's a crazy deal right now.
All right, Brett, thank you so much for all the time. Really appreciate it. Everybody needs to check out some GCW. Thanks, Brett.
That's right. 10 times I've been on here, and I'm looking forward to number 11.
Thanks, Brett. Take care.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brett. Have a great night.
Yeah, good night.
John, I was just sent some breaking news. Let me know if you could hear this audio. I'm gonna pump it up as best I can. 1 second. It's 10 seconds long, so hopefully this works. Could you hear that, John?
No, could not hear that.
So that was from AMC. They tweeted out 1:15:26, and it sounds like at least a fan crowd. It seems like wrestling crowd. So it might be happening, John, coming to fruition in the new year. TNA on AMC.
Awesome! Wow, breaking news here. Interesting. But let's wrap this bad boy up and head towards the plug. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. How about you, Lavi?
Follow me on X at Lavi Marg, L-A-V-I-E, M-A-R-G. Check out my long-form articles on lioncubjobsearch.com. And our business of the business LinkedIn group is growing, almost at 140 members. Want to get to 150 soon. Check out the business of the business on LinkedIn.
Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. See you right back here next week for a little business of the business. See you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.